Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter-Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. MMH establishes NICU partnership. Doctor, collaboration with Pediatrics Covenant to offer highest level of NICU services while keeping families close to home. Midland Memorial Hospital is excited to announce the neonatal partnership with Pediatrics Medical Group, Covenant Children's Hospital, and Cook Children's Healthcare System. Quote, the alignment of quality healthcare organizations combines the services and compassionate care of MMH with the experience, specialty expertise, and dedicated physicians to care for our tiniest patients, end quote, said Stephen Bowerman, president of Midland Health. Quote, we see this as a key step in advancing neonatal care to the next level for Greater Midland, end quote. Quote, we are excited this venture allows us to expand our valued partnership with Cook Children's and renew our partnership with Covenant Children's, end quote, said Dr. Mike Dwyer, market president for Pediatrics Medical Group. Quote, for more than 20 years, we have collaborated to provide the highest quality neonatal care for the most vulnerable infants in West Texas. We look forward to extending these services to Midland to ensure families of critically ill and preterm babies have access to the specialized care they need, end quote. The collaboration allows the community to maintain complete confidence in the quality of care for all infants needing NICU services at Midland Memorial Hospital and enhances access to a higher level of care if the need arises. Quote, since 2018, Covenant Children's and Cook Children's have collaborated to provide the highest quality of care to families in West Texas, end quote, said Rick W. Merrill, president and CEO of Cook Children's Healthcare System. Quote, we are pleased that our unique partnership, which is built on the desire to improve the health of children, has been so successful and that we are able to expand it to serve the neonatal services needs of Midland Memorial, end quote. Quote, the partnership between Cook Children's and Covenant Children's has benefited our patients by providing them with exceptional quality cardiovascular and neurological care, end quote. Covenant Children's CEO Dr. Amy Thompson said, quote, now we have been given the opportunity to expand that partnership by teaming up with Midland Memorial Hospital to provide the highest level of NICU services to families all over West Texas while keeping them close to home. We are proud to see hospitals across the state coming together to provide the best health care services to Texas kids, end quote. What to do, not do, when your child has viral fever. When kids get sick, most of the time, viruses or bacteria cause their infections. While viral and bacterial infections can have similar symptoms, such as coughing, sore throat, and fever, one big difference between the two is how they are treated. In this Mayo Clinic Minute, Dr. Nipuni Najapaski, a pediatric infectious diseases specialist at Mayo Clinic's Children's Center, explains the differences between the two infections and why antibiotics won't help, and why they may even hurt if taken to treat viral infections. The most common circulating viruses for the fall and winter, such as colds and flus, rely on the immune system to fight them off. So don't expect your healthcare professional to prescribe an antibiotic. Antibiotics don't kill off viruses. Dr. Rajapsky says a common misconception she tries to dispel is that children with fevers need to be on an antibiotic before they can return to school or daycare. Quote, giving a child with a viral infection an antibiotic does not help them at all. It won't help them get better faster, and it can cause them harm, end quote, says Dr. Rajapaksi. She says there's also the issue of overuse, which is driving antibiotic-resistant bacteria and making infections more difficult to treat. Quote, we're trying to reduce the instances that this is happening in bacterial infections, end quote, Rajapaksi said. Quote, if you have one, an antibiotic can be life-saving. And so, these are things like pneumonia or blood infections or infections of the bone, for example, where antibiotics definitely should be used. And in order to keep them effective for these types of serious infections, we really need to only use them when we know that they'll be effective, and treat patients, end quote. For viral infections, fever-reducing medications such as acetaminophen or ibuprofen can reduce symptoms while the body fights off the virus. Wound care nurse earns Daisy. Lagatha believes smiley faces on dressings help wounds heal faster. Midland Health announced that Lagetha Lawalan is the latest DAISY Award winner. Lagetha works in the wound care unit and was nominated for the prestigious DAISY Award by a fellow nurse who was powerfully impacted by the care her patient received from Lagetha. The nurse wrote the following, quote, I would like to nominate Lagetha for the DAISY Award. She is a nurse that goes above and beyond for all our patients. Patients know her as the nurse with the colorful bows and the one who draws a smiley face on their dressing when performing wound care. Lagetha believes smiley faces on dressings help wounds heal faster. Lagetha also believes that fostering a positive environment promotes wound healing. Lagetha saw one of my patients who was very upset that she was in the hospital and really missed her dog. Quote, Lagetha went the extra mile for this patient by giving her a stuffed animal. The patient's face lit up when she saw the stuffed animal. I could tell that Lagetha had brightened up the patient's day. I believe that Lagetha is deserving of the DAISY Award because she is truly inspirational to the nursing profession and she is a kind and caring nurse. End quote. It is because of Lagetha's compassionate and caring efforts that her patient experienced a level of care that exemplifies the impact nurses have in creating an environment where patients and families feel at home. Congratulations, Lagetha Lawalan. The DAISY Award is an international nursing recognition program created to honor nurses who provide extraordinary compassionate care. Midland Memorial Hospital is one of over 4,900 healthcare facilities and schools of nursing worldwide that recognizes their nurses with this prestigious award. Anyone in the facility can nominate a nurse, be it a patient or visitor, another nurse, physician, or any other staff member. Anyone who experiences or observes extraordinary compassionate care being provided by a nurse. Five small lifestyle changes that can make a big difference in your health. While many modern-day ailments can be linked to unhealthy lifestyle choices, changing those choices can be a challenge. It may seem overwhelming or useless to even try. But Dr. Stephen Kopecky, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist, recommends approaching lifestyle changes in the same way you would learn a musical instrument or teach a child math, one step at a time. Whether your goal is to lower your blood pressure, manage symptoms of diabetes, lose weight, or just feel healthier as you age, small changes can make a big difference. Here are five small actions that can lead to a powerful transformation. Take one less bite a day of unhealthy foods. If you want to make healthier food choices, start with a single bite. Leave the pizza crust on your plate and instead help yourself to another bite of salad or add a single slice of apple to your breakfast. Cut corners without sacrificing the meal. You don't have to stop eating the foods you love, but you may need to think differently about portions. Eat anything you want, but don't eat as much as you want of anything you want. Get up and move for 3 to 5 minutes every hour. Physical activity consists of two parts, moving more and sitting less. If you lead a sedentary life, and most people in the U.S. do, get up every hour to move your body in a way that you enjoy. Take 10 minutes for intervals. No time for a long workout? No problem. Interval training is a highly effective and time-efficient form of exercise. It consists of short 30-second bursts of high-intensity activity with periods of rest. For example, switching from walking to jogging or biking hard up a hill during a leisurely ride. Say these two words, quote, it's okay, end quote. Forgiving yourself when you hit a slump is important. Positive self-talk takes practice just like anything else, but eventually being friendly to yourself will become second nature. Fauci, COVID likely to require yearly booster like flu shot. COVID-19 vaccines will likely become an annual vaccination akin to the flu shot, President Joe Biden's health advisor said as the administration urges Americans to seek out newly authorized booster shots tailored to fight the Omicron subvariants that are now dominant. Health officials held a briefing Tuesday after regulators cleared the new generation of COVID shots and threw open eligibility, calling on people age 12 and up to get another dose if they haven't had one in the past 2 months. COVID vaccinations will likely shift to an annual shot, tailored to the latest strains for the majority of the population, with more frequent doses offered for higher-risk people, the official said. Quote, we likely are moving towards a path with a vaccination cadence similar to that of the annual influenza vaccine, end quote, said Anthony Fauci, a Biden COVID advisor who heads the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Fauci cautioned that a sharp change in the virus could alter the interval at which doses are employed. Quote, if a wild card variant comes in, all bets are off, end quote, Fauci said. referring to the protection currently offered by the modified vaccines produced by Pfizer Inc. and Moderna Inc. Ashish Jha, who serves as Biden's COVID czar, said officials expect people to get boosters throughout the fall, including in routine doctor visits or at the same time as receiving a flu shot. The modified boosters will be widely available by the end of this week. Jha called on Congress to allocate new funding to continue the availability of vaccines and treatments to fight the virus. Quote, it is now critical that you step up and provide additional COVID-19 funding so that we can stay ahead of this virus, end quote, Jha said. New study unpacks pandemic phenomenon. Did you lose track of time during the early days of the pandemic? If so, you're not alone. A new study says a majority of Americans experienced time distortions at the beginning of the pandemic, which are common during traumatic times. Researchers say those who lost their time sense could be at greater risk for mental health disorders, such as depression and anxiety, and screening for time distortions could help get treatment to those who need it. In a study published in the journal Psychological Trauma, Theory, Research, Practice, and Policy, researchers surveyed a nationally representative sample of 5,661 U.S. adults about their mental health in March to April and September to October 2020. Participants answered questions about their experiences with the coronavirus, their history of stressful life events, and their financial and life stressors related to the virus. When the participants were asked about their perception of time, over 65% reported distortions even 6 months after the pandemic began. Over half said they felt time was speeding up or slowing down. About 46% reported that they were uncertain about what time or day it was, and 35% reported short-term memory problems. More women than men reported these distortions, and the same was true for people who had been exposed to trauma earlier in life. Higher media exposure was associated with distorted time perception, too. The pandemic was, quote, an unprecedented, protracted collective trauma, end quote. The researchers write, though more research is needed, they conclude that time distortion is probably associated with mental health symptoms in the pandemic. Looking to the future is associated with better mental health outcomes. Quote, there are relatively new therapies that can be used to help people regain a more balanced sense of time, end quote. E. Allison Holman, a professor of nursing at the University of California at Irvine and a co-author of the study, says in a news release, quote, but if you don't know who is in need of those services, we can provide that support, end quote. With a better sense of who's at risk, providers can get treatment to those who need them and know what to look for in future traumatic moments. Study. Nearly 43% of young adults used marijuana in 21. Marijuana use among young adults reached an all-time high last year, with nearly 43% of 19 to 30-year-olds saying they had used marijuana in the past 12 months, according to research funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse and conducted by the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. The Monitoring the Future report found a steady increase in marijuana usage in the age group over the past decade, rising from 29% in 2011 to 34% in 2016. The researchers also reported that use of hallucinogens, psychedelic drugs that alter a person's perception of reality, such as LSD, peyote, and mushrooms, was less common than marijuana use in the same age group, but that it too is increasing, up from 3% a decade ago to 8% in 2021. The only hallucinogen to decline in usage was MDMA, ecstasy, down from 5% in 2020 to 3% in 2021. Monitoring the Future research has tracked substance abuse in the United States by various age groups for more than three decades. The latest report found that young adults' most commonly used substance is alcohol, although its use, whether daily in the past month or past year, has been decreasing for about 10 years. But binge drinking, consuming five or more drinks in a row, and high-intensity drinking, 10 or more drinks, have been on the rise, with 32% of young adults saying they binged on alcohol in the prior 2 weeks and 13% reporting high-intensity drinking in that time frame. Since 2017, the study has also tracked vaping and has identified a continuing upward trend. It found that 6% of young adults said they had engaged in nicotine vaping in the past month in 2017, but that number had increased to 16% by last year. prevalence of marijuana vaping in that time frame grew from 6% of young adults in 2017 to 12% in 2021.
Is AFib a life-limiting condition? To your good health for Wednesday. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 63-year-old male with controlled blood pressure using 5 different meds, as well as a prescription for Synthroid due to Graves' disease, for which I was treated with radioactive iodine. In late April, I experienced my first episode of AFib, which stopped by itself. Since then, I have had several AFib events, and like the first one, all were self-converted to a normal rhythm. Is AFib life-limiting or a condition to be controlled, like my thyroid condition? Dr. Roach writes, well-controlled atrial fibrillation isn't life-limiting. Everybody with atrial fibrillation should have an evaluation as to the cause behind it. Abnormal thyroid levels are a very common cause, but often a cause is never found. They should also consider medication to control the heart rate and anticoagulation medication to prevent stroke. Most people with atrial fibrillation benefit from anticoagulation medication, and most of the people who do get a stroke with known atrial fibrillation should have been recommended treatment. Your case is unusual because you have a low risk for a stroke. This was gathered from a clinical tool called the CHA2DS2VASC. You have a score of 1 based on the information you have given me. Some experts would treat you, but I think most would not treat you beyond aspirin. You should definitely have a close follow-up. Woman concerned for nephew's care by younger sister. Dear Abby for Tuesday. Dear Abby, my younger sister Fern gave birth to a son 3 months ago. Since she returned to work, it seems like all she does is dump her baby, Ricky, on others so she can sleep with her special someone. I watched Ricky a couple of times while they ran errands, even though they have someone living with them to keep an eye on the baby. Fern works nights and her SO works days, but all I hear is that Ricky is getting watched by someone else. She's always in the parking lot at work 30 minutes before we open, although she lives nearby. She also volunteers for extra work as often as she can. She has struggled with mental health and alcohol abuse, so I'm worried she may have postpartum depression. I want Ricky to be safe, and I'd love for them to have a healthy bond. From the things she says, I'm worried they don't. I know for some moms it takes time, but she wasn't excited about her pregnancy or about giving birth. She's a first-time mom, so maybe I'm not giving her a chance. Am I just a nosy aunt, or is this normal? Aunt in the South. Dear Aunt in the South, while Fern's parenting style isn't the same as yours, from what you have written, she and her significant other are making sure Ricky is cared for in their absence. This is why I think the answer to your question is yes, you are being a nosy aunt. Dear Abby, I have caught my boyfriend looking at his mom's rear end more than once. She sometimes walks around the house in tight-fitting booty shorts that are so short you can see part of her butt. Sometimes he actually stares, which I find extremely disturbing. I'm not sure what to do. I've even thought about breaking up with him. We usually hang out at my house, but whenever we spend time at his house and his mom wears short shorts, I catch him. Please advise me on this. Can't unsee this. Dear Can't Unsee, have you talked with your boyfriend about your observation? If you haven't, you should. If you are seriously worried that he's lusting after his mother, you should absolutely end the romance. No ifs, ands, or buts. Dear Abby, should vehicle charging be provided as an amenity to an overnight house guest? When my family visits our vacation home, they have gotten into the habit of plugging in their hybrid vehicles when they arrive. They live only an hour away and don't need the additional range to return home. Their vehicles can cost about $30 to charge. Are they taking advantage of our hospitality, or is this the cost of having the company? Unsure in California. Dear Unsure, does this happen regularly? If the answer is yes, and the cost of the electricity creates a burden for you, speak up and ask your gas to stop or compensate you. However, if it doesn't, then I would consider it a part of the hospitality I have extended.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.